Hey everyone, and welcome to the Hack My Homestead podcast. This is Sean Mills, and today is Thursday, December 14th, 2023. I apologize for the background noise. I'm recording this as I'm heading out to a customer's house to help with a solar install. So bear with the background noise. Hopefully the phone will filter a lot of that out. But before I get started, I do want to give you guys a couple little pieces of information. So if you're going to buy something from Signature Solar, they're the dealer for the EG4 products that I like. Use coupon code HackMyHomestead to get $50 off on any order that's over $500. And you could use that for every order over $500. So if you're going to be ordering some material from those guys anyways, it's not a huge discount, especially if you're talking about, you know, a $20,000 or $30,000 system, but $50 is $50. Also, if you are going to get an EMP shield for lightning protection, like I have on my house, the code HMHS will also get you $50 off. And at EMP shield, that $50 off is per device. So if you get four EMP shields, that would be $200 off using the coupon code HMHS. So just got those set up here recently and wanted to pass that information along in case you guys, you know, had the need for it. So getting into today's topic, I want to talk about the different mounting options for solar panels, why you might want to go with one versus another, and a couple things that I've learned this year from going out and literally getting my hands dirty and putting some different mounts in. So number one, I would say that the cheapest way to do a solar mount is to put solar panels on a roof that already exists. And when I say cheapest, I'm literally just talking about cost of components, okay? I understand that if you put solar panels on your roof and then you have to re-roof your house in 5 years and you got to pay someone to take all the panels off and put the roof on and then put the panels back up. I understand that's an additional cost, and that might be a consideration for not doing a roof mounted system. You know, my overall strategy and advice to people has not changed. Always go with a ground mount if you can. However, if you don't have enough space on the ground, or you don't have enough unshaded area on the ground, or you've got a spouse that says, I don't care, I don't want them on the ground, then going with a roof mount system is okay. And I really like the mini rail roof mount system if you have a metal roof. If you have a shingled roof, there are a couple different options. You know, the main option is just using a standard flashing foot for your shingled roof. It kind of goes up underneath the shingle. It flashes itself. There's nothing special that you need to do, and it won't void your roof's warranty. I talked to a couple roofers when I was in Alabama and getting that roof redone, and I just asked them. I said, hey, would you guys put those flashing feet in if I told you exactly where to put them? And they said, no, we won't. We are not solar installers. We're roof installers. And I said, okay, well, if I had the solar company come out and do it, aka myself, but if I had the solar company come out and do it, how would that impact the warranty? And he said, look, it doesn't impact our warranty at all. If there's a problem with our product, we'll cover it. Our warranty will cover it. And I was buying a roof with a 50-year material warranty. He said, but if there's a problem with the mount, or if the mount causes a problem, then obviously that's not our problem. And I said, okay, well, that's fair. So long story short, the guy I talked to, the roofing company I talked to, you know, they said, hey, we will honor the warranty even if there's a solar array up there if our roof causes the problem, if our material or our workmanship causes the problem. So I know there's a lot of fear out there around that. Now, I will say the other thing that you'd want to consider if you're doing a roof mount, particularly if you're doing a roof mount on your actual house, like the residence part, is you're going to want to talk to your insurance company, because the last thing you want is for you to have what would normally have been a covered incident get denied because of something like having solar panels on your roof that your insurance company did not know about. If you're going to put it up there, go ahead and just get the insurance company involved. Make sure that whatever requirements that they have in order to cover that system and the roof underneath it, you're meeting those. The other thing that you can use for shingled roofs is a component called a snap in rack. Snap, the letter N, rack. And those are probably easier to install. They are more expensive, but essentially what you do is you put the components on the you build your lower run and you mount your solar panels, and then every set of panels that goes on above that basically put the upper feet on, and you slide the bottom of the panel into the lower feet that are already there, and now the upper feet are there and they're ready to receive the next row of panels above them. So I plan on ordering some of those and trying to find a place where I can actually install them. My solar mount is starting to get a little bit full, but I think I might be able to find like a spot for like four panels and use that snap and rack system just to demonstrate its functionality. But essentially, you know, those are the options if you're on a shingled roof. If you're on a corrugated metal roof, you've got a few other options. You've got your standard rail mounting systems that just go on an L foot. And so you screw your L foot down into your roof purlin, and then the rail gets mounted to the top of the L foot, and then your panels get mounted to the top of the rail. So I've got a mount up using Tamarack rails, Tamarack, on my solar ground mount that has a corrugated roof over the top of it. And that worked perfectly. I was able to actually put the whole lower rail in from a ladder without having to get up onto the roof. And then I put the whole upper rail on literally kind of like standing on the lower rail. And I've got six panels up on that system right now. There will eventually be a seventh panel, but I need to get my conduit sorted out. And I wanted to get that system delivering power to the house. And so I just ran wiring over to the house. I think I may have mentioned on a previous podcast, I couldn't find my wire tape to pull the wire through the conduit. So I just ran the wire. So I left one slot open, which allows me to get up there and move around a lot easier. And when I go back up there to do that conduit work, I'll get everything pulled through the conduit, and then I will go ahead and put the seventh panel up. And I've just got a spot in between, what is currently 5 and 6 will eventually be 6 and 7 panels for that one to go. That's using the Tamarack mount. Like I said, I prefer the mini rail. The mini rail is super easy. Now, I wouldn't put a mini rail on a very steep roof. If I'm going to be working on a steep roof, I want a full rail system, because then I can use the rail to kind of support myself as I'm working. But anything like 412 and lower on your pitch, I like the idea of the mini rail. The mini rail is what we used on Nicole Sauce's installation over in Lancaster, Tennessee. And that went super fast. It went way faster than my Tamarack rail install. Let's see. The next option. Of course, you've got different rails. So on Ashley's bus, we actually put the, was it the 1000 or the 100 version of the, I think it's called a Unirail. But we put that system up there, and it works really well for that specific application. It's kind of pricey. It's one of the more expensive rail mount systems, but it's supposed to be like hurricane rated. So you're paying for that extra strength and engineering and the cost, whereas the Tamarack's, not rated for, isn't quite as strong, but I don't need it to be that strong. And then, you know, the other option is kind of the DIY. So I've seen some people use Unistrut for metal roof mounting systems. I think that the mini rail system is cheap enough where I would go with a purpose-built install versus trying to DIY with Unistrut at this point. And there's a bunch of other different racking systems, but those are the ones that I have experience with. Now, going to the ground mount system, you've got the, you know, you've got basically one style of system where it's a single row of posts with, you know, it kind of looks like a T where the T is angled and that's where your actual panels sit. And you need some pretty beefy concrete footings to support those, but they're probably the easiest in terms of, they're not probably, they are the easiest in terms of mounting panels that you want to have, you want to be able to adjust the tilt, okay? Because every post has essentially a crank jack on it, like the kind you'd see on like a boat trailer. And you just crank that jack and it pushes out. And that, you know, pushing it out makes your angle a little bit more shallow. So that's more of a summer situation. And then you can pull it all the way in, all the way down to about 60 degrees for a winter installation. And then everything in between. So you could literally go out and adjust this system every single month if you wanted to maximize your solar production over the course of the year. But it's kind of pricey. So for a friend of mine put these in on a 30 panel system and his mount cost nearly $8,000. Okay. So $8,000 for 30 panels. Now the next option is a company called APA Solar Racking, and they have a system called a Ready Rack. Now this is a fixed tilt, but you can get it, you know, it's a fixed tilt, but you can install it at different angles. So you've got three different options for what angle. It's like 15, 25, or 30 degrees, I believe. So again, you can, there's a little bit of customization in that you can adjust the mounting elevation, but you know, for where we are in Tennessee, 30 degrees is close to perfect. And you know what, I think it's actually 15, 30, and 45 now that I think about it, because 45 would be better for your northern, more northern climates. But in any case, I've got a system going in right now in East Tennessee using the APA solar racking system. And now that I know how it all goes together, I think me and one person that didn't know how it goes together but was just good at, you know, following directions could get that system installed in a single day for 60 panels. So the system that's going in out there is a 60-panel system. You have to have a bobcat to drive the actual ground posts in, a bobcat with an auger attachment. I think that a tractor with a PTO post hole digger would actually work as well, but I'm not 100% sure because I haven't seen one to be able to evaluate it yet. But I know that a bobcat with an auger attachment, you just take the auger bit off, you put the adapter in, and then the adapter goes in right over the crown screw. And that system, we had all of those in probably 3 hours. So with a helper, one person could be, you know, if you had two people, one person could be in the bobcat, the other person could be essentially making sure that the posts were getting set properly. And then as soon as all your posts were in the ground, then, you know, you go through, you set all your verticals in, then you go through and you start setting your horizontals. And when I was doing it by myself, I spent more time moving equipment around because where my equipment was about 50 feet from where the actual work was. Because obviously I wanted to leave enough room for the bobcat to get in and out of there and do his work. But if I had that closer, then of course that would have cut half the time out. And then if I had a helper where, you know, when I got the angle, I can say, okay, it's good, tack it down, instead of me trying to hold it, get the right angle, adjust the front, adjust the back, and secure everything. That was a little bit of a process. Now, you could do it one person. You know, it just would take, my guess is if it was just me for the whole project, it'd probably take me 3 days to get that mount in versus you know, one day to get everything into the ground and get my verticals in and kind of get everything laid out and get about a third of it with the north to south angles put in. And then I'm going to have a helper out there for one day to help me finish it up. And honestly, we'll finish it up probably by, you know, 2 o'clock on that one day and then start pulling wire. But, you know, that APA, I'm telling everyone that's interested in a DIY approach right now, if you want a fixed tilt, that APA solar ready rack is the way to go. They've got a ground screw version, so if you've got a rocky area, you go into the ground screw. If you've got a more of a sandy or a clay area, they've got a helical screw that's a little bit cheaper that works just as well. And if you're on limestone slab, then they actually have a ground ballast system. And so you basically just select whichever ground mounting system you want, and then everything above the base is the same for all three. So that one's really nice. And from a pricing standpoint, for a little under $8,000, this customer got enough mounting to do 60 panels. So I told you, I got the guy in East Tennessee that spent $8,000 for 30 panels. This system is $8,000 for 60 panels. And you know, like I said, it goes together. You know, you don't have to have the concrete, this, you know, and all the other stuff. So from an equipment requirement standpoint, if I were to use the other, you know, the single post solar racking, I need an excavator to dig out a place for a footing. And then, like I said, I need probably 1 or 2 square yards of concrete per footing. And, you know, for a 30 panel system, I believe he had either four or five verticals. So, you know, you're talking about a decent amount of extra materials and equipment rental costs. And I'm not going to say that the Bobcat isn't free. Like, there's equipment costs there. But if you knew what you were doing as an operator, you could literally get it, you know, you could get your Bobcat work done in a half day. If you didn't know, you know, and you were figuring it out or going a little slower, then at that point I'd say, okay, you're probably looking at a full day of the Bobcat rental. So let's see, what else? Yeah, that's about it for that. And then you've got, you know, the old tried and true ground mount with pressure treated lumber. And the job that I'm on right now, that's what we're using. And so to put that in perspective, this is a 40 panel system, and we're going to end up spending about $1,200 in materials. That's concrete, that's post, that's all of the lumber, all of the fasteners. So $1,200 and for 40 panels. So, you know, what is that? That works out to $30 a panel for a fixed tilt pressure treated lumber based system. The APA solar works out to, what did I say, 60 panels, $8,000. So that'd be $113 a panel, something like that. And then the, I think it's called the Sinclair mount is, you know, something like $230 per panel. So I've said before that if you do anything other than a ground mount or a pressure treated mount, any of the engineered ground mount systems, you're paying more for the mounting than you are for the panels. You know, so when you can get panels for $100 to, you know, $150 a piece, and it's costing you $250 a panel to mount them, then, well, there you have it. I mean, that's the math. So, you know, now that being said, that system is not going to rot, right? That system is going to outlast the panels themselves. Whereas the pressure treated ground mount system, even if we tar the base of the posts, you know, we're realistically, we're talking about somewhere between 20 and 30 years, depending on how wet the area is. We're gonna start losing that system. Now, you could diligently go out there about every 3 years and seal and stain all of that pressure treated lumber and maybe get another 10 years out of it. So, there are options for elongating life, but your issues are going to be at the ground level. You know, that's where your deterioration is going to happen in a climate like Tennessee, where we're pretty wet, 40 to 50 inches of rain for the majority of the state per year. And so, if you guys have any questions about solar mounting, you can email them to me at Sean, S-H-A-W-N, at hackmyhomestead.com. I still haven't gotten the newsletter out. I'm having a lot of problems with trying to get it to look the way I want it to look and have all the content using the MailChimp native template. So I am going to try to go ahead and get that out this week. As I mentioned on a previous podcast, I do have a line on about 20 truckloads of JA Solar 315 watt solar panels. They are used. They're about 7 years old, but they've all been reconditioned and tested. They come on a pallet of 24. I previously said 25. I was given incorrect information. They're palletized in lots of 24. And they are $75 a piece. So you can't beat that deal. You're talking about less than a quarter a watt. And again, I know I understand that they're used panels, but I'm telling you, I've got panels from this refurbishing company at my house that have been tested, and they test like they're new panels. You know, very, very little degradation. They're still hitting what the PMAX rating is. So if you're interested in getting in on that, you want to put a group buy together with people that you know, just let me know. Send me an email, Sean, S-H-A-W-N, at hackmyhomestead.com. Also, I've got some YouTube and TikTok and Instagram videos up. Some stuff on Facebook. I'm trying to get the social media thing going. And so these different builds that I'm working on, I'm actually documenting them and doing some videos and putting some videos up. So check those out. Give me some feedback. Let me know if you like what you're seeing, if you want to see something different, or if it's just total garbage and I should focus on podcasting and not video. That's not going to happen. But anyways, I welcome any and all feedback, because the only way I can get better is to have you guys, who are the audience, listen to what I'm doing, watch what I'm doing, and tell me what you think about it. So with that, I'll wrap up. Thanks for joining me. We'll talk to you next time.